Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I do have a guest. I won't say alone, but my other two main co-hosts are out of the studio this evening. We have one that's on vacation, and we have another that's celebrating an anniversary. Happy anniversary to you, Bone, and to your lovely wife. So I'm going to try to hold this down tonight and see how it goes. The topic, or the main topic, I'll say, of the show is supposed to be on double standards. Why they exist, what we do with them, their effects, and hopefully how we can overcome them. Friday evening, July 25th. Hope you had a good week going into your weekend. For those of you that got to work on the weekend, hey, still weekend. Enjoy it anyway. I feel like starting this off a little different tonight. Just because it's Friday. And just because I ain't got nothing else to do. So enjoy this and I'll be right back with you.
Love and happiness, yeah, something that can make you do wrong, make you do right, yeah. Love. happiness. Wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone, 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, talking about how she can make it right. Yeah, happiness is when you really feel good about somebody. There's nothing wrong being in love with someone. Yeah.
Anyway, going into this topic, double standards. When I first read Merriam's definition of a double standard, which is any code excuse me, any code or set of principles containing different provisions for one group of people than for another, especially an unwritten code of sexual behavior permitting men more freedom than women. Simple definition, second definition, is a simple principle, a set of principles that allows greater freedom to one person or group than to another. Double standards. I'm going to discuss this topic tonight with, I don't want to say guests because this person has been on the last three shows as a co-host, so I'll just introduce her as such, co-host Cece. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, so tonight, like I said, we'll be discussing double standards and hopefully get some type of perspective or representation from a male perspective, a female perspective. The first double standard, I'll start this thing off. Well, first of all, can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm, I can hear you.
Okay. The first double standard I'll throw out there, it happens to be a double standard as it pertains to the sexes. Stella got her groove back, but Frank is a giant. What I mean is, a 40-year-old woman can't get with a 19, 20-year-old man, and it's considered getting her groove back. Whereas if a 40-year-old man was with a 19, 20-year-old woman, he would be considered a pervert.
Well, I mean, that's only in the movies, because older woman today that is with the younger guy is considered a cougar.
Right. I mean, but a cougar is not a negative term.
Yes, it is.
From my understanding. Oh, is it?
Yes,
I thought
it
a cougar
is.
Was something.
Yes. What does a cougar is a wild animal, so it preys preys on its food or whatever. So no, Stella got her groove back was a clean version. That was a clean or the better way of saying it. But no, you're called a cougar. You know they come up with a new slang term for everything. So no, that is not a good thing.
Okay, well, let me ask this question. What 40-year-old woman, 40, 30, 20, I don't care what age you are, but specifically 40, 45-year-old woman wouldn't want to be seen as attractive to a 19, 20-year-old male, man, whatever?
I don't get off.
Regardless of whether that's a thing or not. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think people do that just to see if they still have it. But I just don't understand why it matters if that person is like 10, 15 years younger than you. But I think it all has to do with getting old. It seems like no one wants to get old. No one wants to be 40. No one wants to be over 40. No one wants to be their age. Everybody wants to stay stuck young. So it seems like their mind is fixated on that. And I think that's why older men, older women tend to go for younger people versus somebody their age.
Well, I won't disagree with that. I won't disagree with that. I think there are a lot of other factors that play into that. But as a whole and overall and as it pertains to double standard, would you agree that it's more widely accepted when a woman over the age of 40, I'll keep that number, is involved with someone 15 to 20 years her younger, it's more widely accepted for a woman to do it than it is for a man to do it? Would you agree with that?
No, I think it's kind of equal with that.
Do you?
To me, I think it's kind of equally looked at.
Okay. Well, that's that, you're saying that's your personal opinion, and I respect that. I get it. Society, though, I tend to believe that society will accept that woman. They will praise that woman. They will give her a pass. She's doing something. She's doing it. I'm just leave it like that. She's doing it. If she can be her age and look good enough to attract somebody that much younger than her, and you're doing it. You get that title, cougar, or they call them MILFs, or they call them all kinds of, there's all kinds of acronyms for them. But the moment a man tries the same thing, regardless of his reason, regardless of the reasoning behind it, he should be ashamed of himself. That's a baby. That's a child. You're a big grown man, and here you are messing around with this baby. No. I mean, she's just as adult as the 19-year-old man when the woman did it. Now, how we feel about it personally, it's something different. But from a societal standpoint, it's widely accepted, and that's what makes it a double standard.
Right, and older men have been going with younger women since way back when your grandmama and your mama were, young and 14, 15, and with older men. So it's nothing new.
Right, I agree. This is something that has been going on. But still, it has never been just, okay, that's okay. I mean, either there's nothing you can do about it, or you talked about it in a negative way privately. But it was never just accepted as they are two adults doing what they want to do.
Right.
Somehow or another, that man has a negative halo hanging over his head. So anyway, that was one of the double standards that I felt can be thrown out and discussed. I mean, we'll get to possible solutions and the effects of those maybe later on in this, but you have one you want to throw out from a woman's perspective, how something is okay for a man to do, but not okay for a woman to do?
I'll say this. I think this is a double standard that I see in society. Is a lot of times I've noticed men want a woman that's in shape, got the curves, flat stomach, big butt, just nicely toned or whatever. But then when you look at him, he favors, let me put it in a nice way. He favors.
No, don't
he
be nice.
Like,
be.
You already know I had changed my mind that quick. But he looked like Shabba Ranks in the face, and then he shaped like Professor Clump. But you want somebody that's in shape and tone like Beyonce or Gabrielle Union or somebody on TV that's in shape. But then you don't look presentable. To me, that's a double standard. But then if it was a woman that was shaped like Professor Clump and looked like Shabba Ranks, you wouldn't even look her way.
Well, there may be somebody that would look her way. There may be somebody that would look her way. I mean, everybody has their preference.
You know why? Because she can cook and clean.
Why is that?
That's why. Because she can cook and
clean.
Well,
whatever. At the end of the day, somebody's looking her way. But I get what you're saying. I think the... Because
she's cooking them hot plates.
Hey. Well, thank you. Society, again, and I keep going back to society. Society is shaped when it comes to physical appearance. It is aimed and marketed more towards women. Women... I don't care if you can go from anywhere from shoes to shampoo, women are the major target when it comes to physical appearance.
Yeah,
that's because
always,
you put a lot. Go ahead.
I want to see you done.
I believe that's because women put more emphasis, effort. As a whole, now this does not pertain to everybody, but as a whole, women put more effort and emphasis on their physical appearance than men do. Does it make it right? I don't think it's an issue of right or wrong. Now, where it becomes a double standard is when a woman can walk into a job interview or can walk into just a restaurant or any public place and they're ridiculed because of how they look, whereas a man with the same issues, I'll put it that way, who is not upkept in the best manner physically, nobody will think twice about that. Nobody will look at him twice. He's just a man. That's just what he is. Yeah, he may be fat, but okay, whatever. Where if it's a woman, she's almost made uncomfortable. Now, I won't say almost. She's made uncomfortable being in her skin out in public. That's why I think it becomes a double standard. As far as a person's preference, well, if that overweight man can grab that tight, fine, whatever you want to call it, if he can grab that, hey, it's all good. It's when we start to make people feel uncomfortable based on their physical appearance, that's when it becomes a problem. But you said you had something to say. I want to allow you the time to finish your thought. Hello?
Oh, no, I agree with what you were saying.
Okay, I thought you had something to... So, from your opinion, from your perspective as a woman, why do you think women are looked at more strenuously based on their physical appearance than men?
I think it to me is that's just you see it in the media. It happens in relationships. This where a woman has to do all the changing anyway. She has seemed like she's given 100% while everyone else is not giving as much as she's giving. But I think that's just how. I think a lot of the media and society has a lot to do with that as far as appearance, because it shouldn't just be more on a woman to keep her appearance up. Anybody should do that. A man as well.
I agree. I mean, especially if that's something that you would cut somebody off for lack of better terms, or you would judge somebody by their physical appearance, and I would expect you to be in tip-top physical shape if that's one of the things that you judge people by.
Right.
Unfortunately, we tend not to work that way. We feel we have the ability to say what we want and give the same thing, what we want. I want you to be what I want you to be, but you're going to accept me just as I am. Guilty as charged. I am one of those people. I'll be honest. Not saying that I have not recognized the wrong in that or the fault in that, but I will say that I have been in that situation. I have been in that scenario.
Okay.
All right, let's go this route. Maybe you can throw something at me on this. This is a double standard as far as men. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's okay. This is from my perspective. It's okay for women to do, but men, I don't know why you would want to, but even if you did, it's not okay for you to do. Women can call each other the B word. They call each other hoes. They call each other, you know, it's all an endearment in conversation. You know, you hear it all the time, even on TV. They address each other as B or ho or whatever. But
yeah,
the moment
but when,
a man...
Who started that?
I can't answer that question for you. I can't tell you who started that.
I don't think women.
At the end of the day,
I'm gonna let you finish. I'll let you finish.
Okay. I was just gonna say, like, men, if you even think about it, like, if you have the look on your face that the B word is about to come out your mouth, she can sense that, and it's like, oh, now you disrespect it. You disrespect it when I do it, but when you do it and your friends do it, it's endearment. How does that work?
Right, and it's because the thing about it is I'll address that first, then I'll back it up. When her friend, if that's what a woman chooses to say, not saying it's right, if that's how her friend and her address each other, they're addressing each other, there's no ill feelings. It's not something, it's not degrading. I'm not trying to down you. I'm not talking about you. If a man does that and he's calling a woman that, you're throwing a low blow. It's how you're saying it to that person. But the thing about it is women didn't just start calling each other B-I-T-C-H's. That just didn't happen. That's a word that started to surface. Men started referring to women as that term. It's just like the racial term Negro and nigger. That's a derogatory term. We've been called that for so long. Some people accepted that. They embraced that. Now it's a friendly term. It's a greeting. What's up, my, you know. So it's the same thing with that. It's like something that women, men, society have accepted and started calling each other that. But women didn't just start calling themselves that. No, that's what we were addressed as. That's what we were looked at as. And some people have accepted that. And they took it, they took something negative, just like the first term I just referred to, and then they try to turn it into a positive. But it's negative.
Okay. So, I mean, because what I was going to go is, so depends on the source, or depending upon where the word comes from, it may change the definition of it?
No,
the definition may be one thing from... Huh.
It changed the... No, the definition is going to always be a female dog.
Okay.
It'll change all right. Maybe
that's
situation.
All I wanted to get to. And not saying I'm not going tick for tack with you. I'm just trying to get make sure we or make sure that I understand I'm on the same page that you on and anybody who might be listening. So we're saying that word is what it is. I may be able to accept the word from someone when I know or I believe that there are no ill intent or ill feelings behind the word. But no man whatsoever can call me that because you have a different meaning for the word. I mean, some dudes, that's just how they address women, period. It's not in a negative to them. They have no negative intent behind it. That's just the title that you carry. So I'm of the opinion that if you don't want a man or someone
that
you don't know.
How could that not be negative, though, when you said there's no negative intent behind it? How could that not be negative?
Because they introduce, I know people personally who introduce their female as my B or my H. And the female is there listening, and they agree. Yeah, I'm his B. I'm his H.
That's
who I am. That's what we
do. That's degrading. That's degrading, and she has accepted that.
Well, it's degrading to you, but not to her. It's a term of endearment for her because she knows somehow or another she has formed in her brain that I understand what he means by this, and it's not what you think, so I'm okay with it. But that does not make it the right mentality. It just means that, okay, if that's the way you want to talk to each other, then who am I to say anything about it? But at the same time, like, how can you?
I can say something about it, and I don't care which you. That is not normal. People function and dysfunction, and that's their normal. So that's what that is. That is not normal. That's their dysfunction, and their dysfunction is normal to them. For him to address her like that, that's derogatory, and that's degrading. And, yes, she probably has accepted that, but I'm sure if you dissect her, whoever the female is, there are some issues there.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not disagreeing with that, but I'm focused on because he calls her that and she accepts it. That doesn't mean that you can call her that. That doesn't mean that, you know what I mean, you can speak out on that, because that's between them two. It's kind of like if I have a brother. Well, I do have a brother, but I'm saying, like, my brother. We get into it. I may say something to him. I may call him that. To his face. I'll use whatever word. And it's okay for me. But if you call him that, now you have a problem with him and me. Because you don't have the right to do that. You don't have the understanding that we have. That's the mentality. I'm not saying that it's right. I'm saying that's the mentality that we adopt. And I'm pretty sure if you go back, like, the situation is not something that doesn't happen frequently. I can say something to somebody that I feel I'm close enough to say it. But if somebody else outside my circle say the same thing, it's a problem.
Okay.
Using the B word as the example. Like you say, women can do it because they're in that circle. They're in that inner circle. You can use that freely, and you can laugh and joke and this, that, and the third, and I might be sitting next to you. But if I cross that line, and like you said, the N word is one of them. You can have two black men standing next to each other and other races around. They'll use in conversation my N and that N and this N and those N's and whatever else. The word will be thrown around like nothing. But the moment somebody from that other race feels as though it's okay because I'm listening to you talk, so it has to be okay. But the moment they say it, now we have a problem. That's where it's wrong to me. If you're going to have a problem or an issue with anybody else saying it, I'm not saying don't use it, but at least don't use it around the person that you would have a problem using. Does that make sense?
No, because soon as those people that are using that term and they're okay with it and they're cool with it and they're laughing and playing and talking, as soon as they fall out and they're no longer friends or no longer cool or no longer like each other, that word will mean, you know, the double standard kind of flip-flop. Then it'll be derogatory. But it's not derogatory only because they're on good terms.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I mean, that is what it is. These are double standards that we're pointing out. They are things that we are aware of. We won't get into the effects yet. I'm trying to hold off on that because I want to throw a couple more examples out there first. Do you have another that you feel, from a woman's perspective, is something that you cannot do, but it's okay for a man to do?
Mm-hmm. I have one that... Because I did I asked a few ladies, and this was one that came up, and it was pretty much about how a man wants you to give 100%, and they give 10%.
That's kind of unfair, don't you think?
That's
kind of an unfair jab at men. I got to give me a little bit more than 10.
Well, I can't
any
10.
Differential. Wow, that's what we're doing. Any differential would be wrong. Whether you giving 100 and he's giving 99, you still giving more, so it's still the same. But to stop at 10, though?
If you can measure it, that's what the measurement came up to, 10%. The 90, okay, 20 to
okay.
80. It's still a difference. It's a noticeable difference where in the when they were in the same situations and they stopped giving whatever percentage, then it was, you know, the end of the world, front page news, and then it's a problem. Or now the man wants to speak on it, but as long as she's giving 100%, so it should be both ways. If you get what you give, but when it's being done to a man, it's the end of the world, it's front page news. Oh, why are you doing me like this? But then when it's a woman, it's okay, get over it, it's all right. So that's pretty much how, that's one of the double standards that came up more than once.
Okay.
When I did my little survey.
Can expect. All right. And that is that men expect things that they are not willing to give. I'm going to just say that.
Right.
Like you expect. Okay. Now, can you specify? Can you be more specific on what these things are? What are we giving? What are we talking about giving? Because
no, it doesn't have
the
to
reason
be
why I'm
specific,
asking this question.
Just pretty much in speaking on a relationship. That's what they were speaking mm-hmm. on, just in general. In a relationship, she's giving more and he's doing just enough, put it like that. Instead of saying 10%, 20%, he's doing just enough to get by. She's doing more above and beyond, but as soon as she stops that, it's a problem. But as long as she's giving more and he's doing barely enough, everything is okay. You won't hear from him. So that's the double standard. I'm speaking in terms of a relationship.
Right, I got you. I understood that point. The reason why I asked the question is because I wanted to know if it was that men and women are to give the same thing in a relationship.
Right,
are we
you
supposed
should
to be
what
giving
you
each other?
See.
Let me marinate on that one for a second.
If you want somebody to give 100%, you better be giving 100%. You better not be doing just enough to get by, but you expect 100%. No, absolutely not. No, sir.
Right, but where you're giving maybe conversation and time and that just the womanly presence that's necessary for a man, my giving may be the protection, the provision, the whatever else that a man gives. Like, so that's what I'm asking. Like, are we giving the same? If you're measuring you giving your conversation and not getting conversation back, then
okay,
all of that
is involved in a relationship, correct? Okay.
It is.
All of that in a relationship, you don't have to name it one by one by one. Everything that's involved in a relationship, you're doing just enough to get by, just enough that we continue talking, or just enough that we're in a relationship. When she's doing everything, she's doing all of that, she's going in 100%, but she's not getting that in return. That's what,
you know, I think that comes
saying.
More back to, I'm sorry, I believe that comes more, I get what you're saying, I'm not trying to minimize that at all, don't take it that way, but I think it's more of a communication thing. Like, the problem, I believe, is that most men really don't know what women want. We may have an idea. We may hear you say what you want. You may be specific in what you say in telling me what it is you want. But the moment I do that and I focus on that, then you want something else. So
do you.
Okay. All right. I'm going to leave that one. I'm going to let that one be. Because you might be right. And maybe I should just back off of that one and just let it be.
Might be.
Men might have to take a loss on that one for right now. I'm going to let that one be. Since we're going this route, let me tell this out here. Why is it that women can withhold sex in a relationship for whatever reason, because they feel like it, because they got a headache, because they just had a bad day, because whatever the case may be, they can do that, and it's just you have to accept it. But the moment a man does it, then there's something wrong. Like, are you gay, or is it like, what? We don't even have to go that route. Women can withhold sex within getting to know a person or within the relationship and put it on her morals. Morally, I don't want to do this until I get married. We can accept that. But the moment a man does the same thing, and he can genuinely be based on morals, there has to be a problem with him. There's something wrong somewhere for him not to want to go down that road? Why is that?
Well, you're going to have to ask somebody else that question, because I don't think that. I think it's the same way. Just like you said, like if a woman has morals, that's her standard. She wants to wait until this time, until she gets married. She want to wait this many months. A guy can do the same thing. I know people that you know, guys that's their story. So now that I don't, but I've heard people say, oh, he must be gay if he's not interested in her. No, that just means that he's just not interested in you, but that has nothing to do with him. That has everything to do with her thinking everybody wants her. Or a guy the same way, he'll say his girl is gay because she doesn't want him. That has everything to do with you thinking everybody that you approach must be wants you in some type of way. But no, I know men that have the same standards, is that they wait, you know, they don't want to speak with everybody right off, or they do want the next person they have sex with, they want that to be their wife. So that one, that's
so then you are not of the, I'm sorry.
No, I said,
so then you are not of the, we playing phone with that. All right, so you are not of the opinion that every man will sleep with any woman. You don't have that opinion.
No.
Okay.
It's some men that have class. It's not every man will fall in every hole and just to say they fell in the hole. So, no, I don't think every man will sleep with every woman. I don't care how beautiful she thinks she is. No, Some people don't discriminate. They don't care who they sleep with. They will. But no, I don't think every man is like that.
Well, that's refreshing to hear. You'd be surprised. Maybe you wouldn't be surprised, but a lot of women don't have that same opinion.
Yeah,
a lot of men
true.
Don't have that same opinion.
Of course. And it might be the ones that are that type of man. Of course, he's going to think the whole world. You know how when some one person doing something, they think the whole world is doing it. Somebody get caught cheating, everybody does it. No, you got caught. You're going to take everybody down with you. So that's probably one of that, you know, that mentality, because that's what that person does, because that's what you know and that's all you know. Now everybody else does it. No, that's not true.
It's Nino Brown. If I go down, I'm thinking a whole lot of people with me. But yeah, we spoke about this chivalry thing. I think it was the last show, maybe it was the one before that. And we asked the question specifically, what is chivalry for a woman? And there really wasn't an answer. Or the answer was that it doesn't exist. That's what we came back to. Is that in itself a double standard? Like, why are men expected to be chivalrous, but there is no chivalry for women?
What's wrong with a man treating a lady like a lady? What's wrong with a man opening a car door? What's wrong with a man pumping the gas? You're supposed to be a...
Nothing at all.
Right. So I think a
Nothing
lot of
at
men
all.
Have
but if
hurt
the king...
from that.
No, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with chivalry within itself. I'm asking the question, if we have to be chivalrous or are expected to be chivalrous, where is the chivalry coming from on the other side?
The chivalry on the other side has always been on the other side because, number one, a woman has been taught since she was a little girl to get married. A little boy is not taught the same thing. So she's taught to cater to a man when she's a little girl. She's taught to take care of the children, take care of the household as a little girl. All that is chivalry. All of that washing your clothes, cooking, cleaning, doing the dishes, making sure you eat, making sure this house flows smoothly, all of that is chivalry.
Okay,
we
that's it. We've
been taught
that
together. Since the beginning of time. Women been catering to men. That's your chivalry right there.
Okay.
Now,
right.
Men don't want to be chivalrous at I can't hostile. I'm telling you, tell it like it is. Men don't want to be shivers at all anymore. They don't want to open doors anymore. If they open the door, they want to open the door on Sunday, but then they don't want to do it again until Saturday. But so I don't think shivers. It's always been there. Men have always been catered to.
Let's go back. And we're going to slow down and we're going to dissect this a little bit, because I don't know if I like that answer, if I agree with that answer. Number one, all the things you named are things that women do for the men that they live with, either in marriage or we're just dating and we live together. But I don't have to live with you to open your door. I don't have to live with you to call you in the middle of the day and tell you I'm thinking about you. I don't have to live with you to send you flowers. I don't have to live with you to do what a man is expected to do in courting a woman, right? So why
and
do men have to
so
wait?
So everything I name, you have to be living together to perform those?
Yeah,
things?
I mean, you washing my
not
clothes
really.
If you don't live with me?
You don't have to.
No,
not,
you ain't.
You don't have to.
You're washing the clothes, taking care of the kids, this, that. I don't know how you got the kids already, but you, all of that you say is chivalry. So now I'm going back to, okay, well, what about before we say I do? I'm chivalrous before the marriage happens.
What are you
is
looking for?
Is that just
for,
something that...
Well, let's just say this. What is chivalry for you from a woman? What is it?
I don't know. I don't think I said it the other day. I don't think it exists. But that don't change the fact that it's a double standard. I really don't believe that chivalry from a woman exists. Not me. The things that you, if you, see, that was the second part of me slowing down, because I was like, if you consider, which I guess it is, because you're not required to do anything. But if washing your clothes and or washing my clothes and cleaning and all of that kind of stuff, if that's considered chivalry, is me going to work to provide, is that chivalry too? Is me making sure that our home is protected, is that chivalry?
That's something you're supposed to do at the same time. Yeah, that could be chivalry. The definition of chivalry is, the first definition is the system of values such as loyalty and honor that knights in the Middle Ages were expected to follow. The second definition is an honorable and polite way of behaving, especially toward women. An honorable and polite way of behaving, especially toward women. So.
We don't have a bad connection. I heard you first. Especially toward
saying,
women. Okay.
Yeah, but it's still an honorable and polite way of behaving.
Right.
We're taught that as little girls to be that way towards the man in our life, towards our husband.
That does not mean that you follow that teaching, though, just because you thought that. That doesn't mean that you do it. Now, I'm not talking directly and specifically to you, but I am talking to you because you are the representative on the phone right now.
Right.
So that chivalry from a woman could be simply holding your tongue sometimes. Now, here I go. You have to understand who I
that's
am.
Another, that's another double
some...
standard.
Why? Why is that?
That's another double standard. I always hear a woman should hold her tongue. She shouldn't speak. Or no, why? When you speak freely, be expecting that in return. And be expecting, you know, that woman to speak in return. Why do we have to be silent?
No, you don't have to be silent. It's not being silent. Holding your tongue is not the same as closing your mouth. Holding your tongue is in that moment when there is no understanding. No. I'm not saying that you don't have an opinion. I'm not saying that we can't discuss things. I'm not saying that I don't value your opinion. That's not where I'm going. Going when it becomes an issue, when it comes to the point where we're going back and forth and this conversation has turned into an argument.
So if we're going back and forth, then you as the leader, you as the man, you hold your tongue,
right.
You close your mouth, and then everybody follow the leader. Why is it, you know,
well,
all around you, and then she hold her tongue?
Does most men will do that? That's the. You ever read in the Bible where it says warning before destruction? That's what that means. When a man shut up and he just, like, especially in a heated conversation, when he just stopped talking, it's best to just leave that alone for a minute because there ain't no telling what's going to happen after that. So we will do that.
Both ways.
At least the men under. But at that point, when a man leaves the conversation alone, he stops talking, and some women, not all, continue to go on and on and on and on and on and on and on.
You're not going on and on and on. You just decided to just out of the blue take yourself from the conversation. So she's not done with the conversation. So she's not going on and on and on. She's not done with the conversation. Just because you're done, you thinking the conversation is over. We're done with it. We're not going to talk about it anymore. That does not necessarily be the case. She's not done with it. So that's probably why she's still talking about it.
Okay. So then, as a woman, explain to me how I win in this situation. Because if the conversation has come
to
a point.
Win?
No. I'm not saying how I win the argument. I'm saying how I win this little battle that we're having right now. How do I not let this battle go further than where it is in this moment? Because we've tried to talk, and we're not hearing each other because we're talking over each other. So it's either A, I'm going to continue to talk, and you continue to talk, and we escalate, or B, one of us is going to have to remove ourselves and just listen. Now, from what you just said, why can't I be the one to hold my tongue? Okay, so I said, okay, men do that. We hold our tongue. But some women don't understand what that means, and they continue to keep going. Why? Because they're not done with the conversation. So now what am I to do? Just sit there and listen? I mean, I don't want to hear
everybody
it anymore.
Well,
like,
everybody doesn't yell and cuss and scream when they're having a conversation.
You're right.
Some people
but we
do
converse
hold conversations
or understand
like
it.
That.
If we're not understanding each other in the middle of this conversation, what is it benefiting us to continue
conversing? Are you trying to understand each other?
Well, I am. If I'm in the conversation, I'm trying to understand where you're coming from and try to find the line of disconnect from what I'm saying and what you're saying, where we're not hearing each other, where the issue is. That's the purpose of the conversation to me. Other than that, we didn't have a problem. There was nothing. Okay, you want to go to Kobe's and I want to go to Red Lobster. Okay, it ain't no big deal. We'll go over here. But if it's something that requires extra communication, then that means it's a big enough issue, and I need to understand what it is you're saying that I disagree with. I don't know. I just feel like that scenario just proved to me, because I've found myself in that before numerous times. I can either take the road of going tick for tack. We just gonna go back and forth at each other till somebody quit, which doesn't end well. Or I can get to a point where I'm realizing you're not hearing me and I'm not hearing you, so I'm going to just stop talking. But when I do that, I'm not saying you have to immediately stop talking. I don't want to hear this for the next hour, though. Like, at some point, you have to get within yourself that, look, okay, he's left this alone. Maybe I should step back and think about some things myself before I continue talking.
But have you dealt with the issue, really?
Well, sometimes you have to agree to disagree sometimes. You're not going to, and again, this is all stuff that I had to learn the hard way. Still learning. Because when I feel like I have a point and my point is valid, I go all night. I go all night long. As long as we're talking. Sometimes we ain't even, it'll escalate past talking, let's be honest. But at the end of the day, nothing is getting accomplished. So this all came from holding. If a man proves that he can hold his tongue in the middle of a heated discussion, why can't the same be given? Let's take a break. You go in your corner, I go in my corner. We come back maybe an hour, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. But we come back later and try to finish this discussion later. Right now, it's
I don't think that's one-sided. I think that's dependent on the person, male or female. Some people just like to argue. Some people like to discuss things. Some people walk away from a discussion before it's even dealt with, or you walk away just because you don't want to talk about it anymore, but that's not fair to that other person, and they're still on it. And that could be male or female. That's just depends on how a person communicates. Really.
Okay, I can accept that. Now, back to, because we kind of got off point, and I think this was one of your womanly things that y'all do very well. We were talking about chivalry from a woman. And I heard you read the definition, and it said it's especially directed towards a woman.
Yes.
Are we just
going
to have to come
polite
to the...
It's behaving in a polite and honorable way or whatever. Women are polite to men.
Do we really want to go there? Like,
yeah,
really?
We can.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not disagreeing with you that women are not polite.
We have time to do it.
We do have time, but I think you are coming more so... When you blanket women, that's where it becomes a problem. I think in understanding that you are speaking from your own perspective and your understanding, I get that. But I can be honest and say that some men are dogs. Not all men are dogs. I can be honest and say that some men call their women B's and H's as a terms of endearment. Not all men. But when you say things like, well, women are chivalrous. Women were taught to be married. Men weren't. Little boys aren't. And women are nice to men. It's blanket. We have to talk about the ones that aren't. The ones that don't think like you. The ones that don't have your opinion. Now, I know it's hard for you to speak for those people, but we do have to understand that those people exist. Right.
Well, invite them on the show.
I don't know. I don't know about that one. I don't know how that would go. Anyway, okay. Moving along from that, I heard what you just said, so I take that. A metaphor for a double standard. A key that can open any lock is a valuable tool. But a lock that will open for any key is useless. Do you agree or disagree?
Mm-hmm. Do
I need to say that again?
Mm-mm.
Okay. That is double standard in a nutshell. We only find things relevant to us that are useful to us. That lock is useful to somebody. Whether you can open it or not doesn't matter to them. The only thing that you're focused on and the only thing that matters to you is that key. Because it'll do what you want it to do, but you can't see that lock as being useful. That's not always the case, though. Just because I can't see it as useful doesn't mean that somebody can't use it.
Right.
You don't want to go any further than right?
No, I agree. I agree.
Okay. All right. Okay. Cool. So now, how do we resolve double standards? Double standards as a whole, we realize that they create a problem sometimes. I don't want to say sometimes. Most of the time, a double standard is a problem. I'll stress to say all the time, a double standard is a problem. Because if it works for you, why can't it work for me?
Right.
And if it worked for me, why can't I see it working for you? So, yeah, all the time, double standards are a problem. How do we get over those? How do we resolve the issue of double standards, from your opinion?
I don't think it's something that will ever be resolved.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Why is that?
I just don't.
Why,
I
why
think
do you
it's
say
gonna.
That?
I don't think that it'll ever be resolved. But it'll always be lingering out there. It'll always be lingering out there somewhere. So I just don't think it'll go away completely. Because it's the world we live in. It's like you said, you only care about yourself. So you really, I just don't see a person trying to equal out the playing field. I just don't think it'll ever be equal. I just don't think that the double standards will ever go away, because that stuff is deeply rooted. It's not going anywhere. It's going to be here. It's going to be around.
Okay. Now, at the beginning of this show, I played a song for those that may have joined late or are just joining. Mm-hmm. I played Love and Happiness. And those are pretty much, they're close to being, they're synonymous with each other. Love and happiness are synonymous. In the conversation of double standards, synonyms don't go over very well. So if you don't mind, or what I like to do right now is take this opportunity, and I'm going to play another song. And this song, I think, goes more along with the conversation that we're having. Now, you listen, and when we come back, you tell me what you think about the song. Can you do that?
Okay.
All right. Thoughts of a brother, we are having the discussion on double standards. We have female and a male perspective on the two. 718-664-9983. Welcome to chime in at any point if you have a double standard that you would like to discuss or comment on something that we said. I will be right back with you after this song plays. Thank you.
sometimes we see the ones that you care for give you so much pain. Oh, but it's all right. They're both one in the
meaning now. It takes on a different meaning for me. Like he said, joy and pain are like sunshine and rain. And we have to understand that they're both one and the same. They all work together for our benefit. The problem with double standards, and I said this before I went to the song, is that we tend to want people to accept us as we are. But we have a hard time accepting them in a similar situation as they are. I had a conversation with two of my closest friends on this planet this week. And I'm putting myself out there. I do it fairly often. Um, in having the conversation, it was pointed out to me that I was taking offense to some of the very same things that I quite frequently do. Once they were done to me, I had no understanding that, or what I thought was being done to me, what I took as being done to me. It was all a misunderstanding, but in that misunderstanding, there was a revelation, and that was the problem in the whole situation was me not being open and accepting to the very thing that I expect or want people to be open and accepting from me. Double standard. Definition of it. What did you take from the song? I know, I'm pretty sure you've heard it before, but do you feel it's relevant in the conversation? Do you feel we can learn something from some of the lyrics in that?
Well, to be honest, I've only heard the chorus of that song. I've never heard the verses. So I was trying to listen to what Frankie was saying. I didn't even know Frankie Beverly sung that song. So I'm a little rusty on that end. But he did say, what stands out, sunshine and rain, joy and pain. And the one verse where he said, things that make us happy make us sad.
Mm-hmm.
Which is true. When he said that, I thought of a person. Were you in a relationship with a person, or even if it's your child, it's the same thing. The same people make you happy, make you sad. Same people make you sad, make you happy. So, I mean, that's what I took from it. But I couldn't understand all of the words, but I did hear that those few little, verses.
Yeah, and that's enough. I mean, that's enough to get the general gist of the song. Again, for me, what it comes back to is double standards only become relevant when it's time for me to address a situation. It's not how somebody else takes it. It's how I take it. It's what I bring in and what I take out of that situation. I say all the time that this microphone that's sitting in front of me is a form of therapy for me. It's leading to growth that I didn't see coming when I signed up for this, because it requires me to be open. It requires me to be honest. I live and have lived by double standards for a long time. That's just being honest. I expect, and we can keep it on a relationship level. I expect certain things from my partner, my lady, significant other, whatever you want to call it. Wife at the point in time when I was married, not realizing that I wasn't willing to give those same things. So when you brought up the question, why do men expect 100, but are only willing to give 10, I still don't like 10. Like, that's painful.
I changed it. Well, that, you know what?
I don't want to stop at 20 either.
It's called faith in reality. Well, you remember I changed it, though. I changed it to doing barely enough.
Okay, yeah. That's the barely, though. Let's just say you're not
doing
willing
just
to
enough.
Give.
I change it to just enough. You're not, you're not giving what you're receiving, put it like that. Like
right,
you said,
right.
You're expecting
that's
something
the
you're not
issue.
Giving. Yeah.
Whether it be 99 to 100, 99 and a half to 100, 1 to 100, whatever the number is, there's a differential there. I do apologize for the technical difficulty. It looks like...
Okay, I can hear you.
I guess
you
I'm back on there now. Can you hear me? Okay, good. I'm sorry about that. I apologize. But where was I? Oh, yeah. Regardless to the number, the fact of the matter is, I will admit that I have not always given what I expected to receive or what I pushed for in a relationship. That in itself is the problem. When we can get more people who will step back and look at scenarios and situations and approach it from a personal, not what it is I'm getting, but what am I giving? Am I giving everything that I'm arguing that I should be getting? If you can't answer yes, then you should stop your argument at that point and then reassess the situation. Like, how can I readjust myself to give what it is that I'm asking for? That's a hard thing to do. We tend to not be honest with ourselves a lot of times.
Right.
Double standards affect our lives, I think, more than we realize. Because it causes unnecessary hurts. It causes unnecessary situations. It's just unnecessary. And things we say and do can't be unsaid or undone. We can get in the habit, before going off and before making a molehill a mountain, before we do that, let me look at me and make sure I'm doing all I can to make the situation what I expected it to be. If my answer is no, then I shouldn't be arguing with anybody else. This conversation with anybody else should not be happening. I need to go in my mirror and figure this out for me. If my answer is yes, then by all means. If your answer is yes, whoever. If the answer is yes, I'm giving all I can to this, but I'm not seeing what I want. Then you have all the right in the world to address that. At that point, it's not a double standard, at least not from your side. Double standards are not limited to male-female relationships. I mean, we have double standards throughout society, in the workplace, in church, in school. Everywhere you go, the potential for double standard is there. I throw one out there. It is okay for one religion to practice their beliefs, but they have another problem. They have a problem with another religion or another set of people who believe in something different practicing what they believe. How is that fair? How is that right? That just means that your way is the only way. Your way is the right way, and whatever you do opposite of what I'm doing is wrong. Well, then what you're doing in itself is wrong because you haven't learned to respect another person's thought process, another person's space. Again, just one. There are many, many examples that we can throw out there. It's not so much for me about the examples. It's about what do we do with the understanding of a double standard, of what it is and how it affects life. Your opinion?
What do we do with it?
What do we do with it? We on the chopping block.
You already know what I told you about the double standards. They have deep roots. It's like one of those old trees that's real, real tall and been there over 50 years. Is that tree going anywhere anytime soon? Nope.
Not if you don't cut it down.
But it's against the law to cut it down, so... I don't think double standards would disappear.
You did say that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll say that I agree with you while disagreeing with you. I don't believe that they can't go anywhere.
Okay, this is how they disappear.
How is that?
Okay, just like you said, you used to have your own double standard. Not the last one. I can't remember exactly what you said, but you said you used to have your, far as like, I don't know if you were referring to you not giving what you wanted to receive in return. Okay, that's the way double standards would disappear. That's the way double standards would disappear, one person at a time, I guess, because, you know, once you know better, or you think better, and you realize and you accept that what how you thought was not the right way, then, yeah, that's how double standards would disappear. Other than that, they are here to stay.
So it's from what I'm hearing from you, it's an individual's responsibility,
right,
to understand what it is. Yeah, once each person takes accountability for their own actions and their own thought process, I'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Then we may see that that's the only way that we can even dream about seeing a decline or a change in the effect those standards has on life.
Right.
Double standard, I will call something else after this conversation. It's more, it comes from the selfishness of people. It's more, I used to look at it solely as societal acceptance. Well, this is what is right and this is what is wrong. Why? Because this is just the way things work. No, well, but we deal with people. We deal with different people with different mindsets and different desires and just different. Everybody is different. There is no two people that are alike. Now, I believe that wholeheartedly. You'll never come across another Corey. Now, some people will jump for joy to understand and know that, but there's only one of me. I could run across somebody who looks exactly like me but thinks totally different. Or it could be one minor difference. Whatever it is, it makes us different. In understanding that, I can't expect you to do anything other than what it is you do. I just have to be open enough to accept you and what it is you do. Just because I feel like you should... what's one of the double standards we threw out the other day? I feel like you shouldn't address your lady, your woman, your significant other, your whatever, with the B or the H word. That's how I feel. But if that works for you and your partner, who am I to say anything about that? I don't know the history behind that. I don't know where y'all get that from. I don't know why you do it. And it really has nothing to do with me. Absolutely nothing to do with me. Will I adopt the same practice? No, I won't. But is it wrong because you do it? I can't say that it is if she accepts it. How is it wrong to me? How can I say it?
It's still wrong whether she accepts it or not. It does not take away that it's still wrong. No one has accepted responsibility for the wrong, but it's still wrong. She just accepted that.
According to who? Who makes it wrong?
Have you looked up the definition of a whore lately?
Those words that we're talking about?
Have you looked up the definition of those words?
Well,
that's not a term. Well, unless she is one.
Hey, well, again, who am I to question? You know what I'm saying? That's where I'm going. Like, who am I to question how you address the person that you with? Who am I? I'm not in that. She doesn't have to answer to me, and neither do you. So I can't tell you what you're doing is wrong.
Yes, I can. I mean, may not change anything, but yes, I can. I can say something if I please, if I see something that's just dysfunctional right there. I can say something about it. That's not like it's going to change what they do and how they do it. It may not. But some things you could bring to a person's attention and then they realize that, hey, this is dysfunction. But, hey, it may not change it. You know, he's probably going to call her that as soon as you walk away or as soon as you stop talking.
One thing you can probably pretty much one thing that will be a fair assumption before you open your mouth in that scenario is that the man who's using that word even if he does not understand to the degree, he has some type of understanding of the negativity associated with that work. So there is nothing really that you can tell him that he doesn't already know. And that goes for that woman as well. Now, you may be able to open her mind to accepting the fact that she does not have to accept that. Hey, by all means. But at the same time, you could turn around and get backlash in her defending her man. Like, who are you to tell him or me anything about what we do? Why even
well,
take that risk?
You, if they do it in front of you, you could say whatever you please. They're making it your business. If you're doing this in front of me, I'll take the risk. I'll say something. They may not like it, but I mean, I'll say something.
You would say something? Okay, I respect that. Mm-hmm. Hey, I respect that. That's something
of
that
course.
You would feel necessary to do, but everything that's done in front of you gives you a right to speak on or gives you a right to interject. Because it's done in front of you?
I'll use my discretion.
Okay. I respect that, too. Let me ask this way, then. Let's say you were on the other end of that, and you were talking to your homegirls. Not saying that you do, but let's just say y'all were having a conversation, and it was accepted amongst you that you use the B word or the H word to address each other. No hard feelings, no ill feelings, whatever. That's what we do. But you do that out in public and there happens to be an older lady there or an older man or a clergyman or just somebody who just doesn't like the word. Somebody in general, period. And they address you and like, hey, that makes me uncomfortable. I don't like when you say it. I feel like you should address her a different way. That's disrespectful. However they give it to you. What's your response to them?
I mean, if I was that type of person, most of the time people get upset versus listening to the person and seeing if what they're saying has any type of credibility anyway. Or, you know, if it's an older person, you know, I may get mad then, but trust me, somebody else is going to tell me that again in life, and I may get it from someone else. But I think you should show some type of respect. Just because you talk and act like that doesn't mean that the people around you do, you know, act the same way and accept that. But if you know, if that's your thing, then, yeah, you should, especially you said an older person, you should have some type of respect. But then, hey, if they're degrading their own, you know, themselves, you can't expect for them to have
exactly.
too much respect for someone else either.
That's the whole point I'm trying to make. If he's standing
yeah.
there calling his lady a B or H or whatever, and she's accepting it, why in the world am I going to interject in that? They don't respect each other. He doesn't respect himself. He doesn't respect her. She doesn't respect herself. She doesn't respect him. So what am I going to say to either of those two people?
You can still say it.
You were okay with that. Nah.
Yeah.
That's beating a damn
yeah.
horse. Why would I do that? It's the same scenario I just gave you, and like you, when you came to the conclusion that, well, they don't respect themselves, so.
I think a lot of times, like, that mentality can be kind of dangerous to not saying anything, because sometimes it might be a situation where you needed to say something to correct the person, you know, or to.
I agree with you.
Yeah, so I guess every situation is different. Everybody may not take it in love. Everybody may not want to hear what you got to say, but sometimes some things still have to be said.
I laughed when you said you would use your discretion because I felt that was the correct answer. I mean, it would all depend on how I saw it going down. Now, if it was an argument and he just came out with it and this, that, and the third, and the fact that they're arguing would probably make me reluctant to say anything, but if I did, that would be the opportunity I would take because I don't know if you use this normally. I don't know if you... kind of be like, well, we kind of understand you're heated, man. Like, but really you want to go that route though. If they're laughing and joking with each other and using that, yeah, this you accept that. There's nothing out of the ordinary. There's nothing wrong with it. I ain't getting in that. I'm gonna let you have that. Everybody will not want to be, again, everybody's different. I can't say that you're wrong. It just doesn't work for me. So that circle is probably not one that you will find me in. But I can't say that what you're doing is wrong. I can't put the label wrong on that, because I'm not the one that can determine right from wrong. I'm still trying to figure that out for myself. So I can't tell nobody else what that right and wrong is. But anyway, I think it was an interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. As far as double standards, and at the end of the conversation realizing that double standard is only a double standard when I'm not willing to accept what it is I give. Other than that, how do I ever run into what is considered to be a double standard? If I'm open to me doing it, I should be open to you doing it. Okay, well, on that note, is there anything else you want to throw out at us? We got like a good 20 minutes. We can go ahead and calm this down. It is Friday night. I usually say to people who are listening, it's Friday. I know you worked all week. For those of you that go to work, for those of you that don't, you still Friday. You choose to go out, go out. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. Just be smart. Don't drink and drive. Be careful.
Don't text and drive. That's even more dangerous.
Well, I try not to. I'm being honest. I try not to text and drive.
Just wait until you get to the red light.
And by that time, I even forgot what I was going to say.
Wow.
But yeah, for those, like I said, for those that go out, have a good time, enjoy yourself, enjoy your weekend. Just be safe, be smart. Enjoy the chopping block. We'll come back on, what's today? Friday. We'll be back on Sunday. Sunday, we will have What She Really Thinks. TOAB will be presenting the questions and getting answers from a woman's perspective. Find out what she really thinks. And I hope she is prepared for the questions that she may get.
I hope Sunday. You're prepared for the answers.
Answers don't bother me. I'm okay with that. Anything else you want to throw out at us?
No, I think we threw out enough.
All right, cool. Well, on that note, I'm gonna send y'all out of here with a little something to think about for your weekend. And again, we will see y'all on Sunday. Co-host, if you're listening, if you're not listening, enjoy yourselves. And come back and help me out, man. I don't like doing this by myself. Well, I'm not saying I'm doing it by myself. I'm not going that route. Please don't take it that way. Let me clean this up. I miss my co-host being in the studio with me. That's what I meant to say. I do appreciate Miss Cece. I'm not calling that Miss Cece. I appreciate you joining us. And we will see you on Sunday as well. On that note, TOAB out of here, man.
See, really, I don't give a damn what you make things be. Drive your badass. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to say what I'm going to say if you're a badass. You understand what I'm saying? Well, you better. Yeah. I was born in these streets. Raised in these streets, walked in these streets, talked by these streets.
lived in these streets, streets. Hustled in these streets, streets. Arrested in these streets, streets. Protected by these streets, streets. Yeah, you know I walk through the valley of these streets, streets. Shall not fear these streets, streets. Because I run these streets. And I paid my dues with borrowed pennies. And now I'm a bad man, not a stranger. A bad man, yeah. And don't need no love. I'm a bad man, yeah. Not a stranger. I'm a call.